The gospel reading this morning comes from the 20th chapter of John's gospel. I begin the reading in verse 19. This picks up on the story of the first Easter Sunday. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of his nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit. In your light, may we see light. In your truth, may we find freedom. And in doing your will, may we be surprised by joy. Unstop our ears and grant us hearts overflowing with gratitude. For we pray all this in the name of the risen Christ. Amen. Did you hear the one about the disciple who walked into a bar? Thomas has had quite a week. First, his friends play a mean practical joke on him by telling him that they've seen the risen Christ while he was out doing the shopping. Then it turns out that they weren't joking, and Jesus shows up again and essentially tells Thomas that he needs to have more faith right in front of everybody. He's confused and frankly feeling a little humiliated. So Thomas leaves the other disciples and he makes his way to the local tavern. He sits down on a stool and is about to enjoy his drink when he hears a voice. "You're a great disciple." Thomas looks around over his shoulder thinking maybe the Lord has reappeared, but there's nobody in the place. And he hears it again. "No, really, you will spread the gospel like nobody's business." Thomas looks around again, no one in sight. He hears, "Oh, and I hear you're one of the best preachers of all time." By this point, Thomas is on his feet searching for Jesus, and the bartender walks in. "Is there a problem?" "You won't believe this," Thomas says, "but I keep hearing this voice telling me that I'm a great disciple. I think it's the Lord, but I can't see him." "Oh," the bartender says and chuckles, "that's not God. That's them." And he points to a bucket of peanuts on the bar. "Peanuts?" Thomas asks, looking very doubtful indeed. "Well, sure," says the bartender. "The nuts are complimentary." You heard me say earlier that today is Bright Sunday. This is borrowed from an ancient tradition among some Christians. In the Eastern Orthodox Church, the day after Easter was once known as Bright Monday. It was a day set aside for laughter and hilarity. And on that day, in those very traditional, very conservative churches, people would gather for worship to hear their priest tell jokes. And not necessarily religious jokes either, just jokes to tease laughter out of the congregation. So imagine an extravagantly bearded Orthodox priest with his long flowing robes and full regalia telling knock-knock jokes. There's good theology behind that, believe it or not. Those customs are rooted in the musings of some of the early church theologians, names like St. Augustine and Gregory of Nyssa and John Chrysostom, who claimed that God had played a wonderful joke on the devil by raising Jesus from the dead. Risus Paschalis, they called it, the Easter laugh. You know, volumes and volumes have been written on humor, everyone from Aristotle to Sigmund Freud. And while there's no consensus about what makes people laugh, there is at least one common theme. A lot of humor is based on surprise, on the reversal of expectations. A man shows up with his dog at the office of a theatrical agent, hoping that the agent will take them on as clients. The man says to the agent, you gotta see this. This dog of mine talks. I'll prove it to you. Fido, what do you call the thing on the top of a house? And the dog responds, roof. The agent says, you got to be kidding me. You are wasting my time. Man says, no. Let me try again. Fido, what is the texture of sandpaper? And Fido responds, rough. The agent says, you're killing me here. Hold on. The man says, one more chance. You'll be really impressed. I promise. Fido, who was the greatest baseball player of all time? And Fido says, Ruth. The agent says, that's it. I've had enough. And he throws them both out the door. The man and his dog go tumbling onto the sidewalk. And then the dog looks up at his owner and says, DiMaggio? See, surprise is the reversal of expectations. Something happening that's not what you've counted on or seen before or come to believe might happen. And that's exactly what we find in this 20th chapter of John this morning. This is one of the first post-resurrection appearances of Jesus to the disciples, and it is the absolute opposite of what they expected. As the story opens, the disciples are quarantining themselves, not for fear of infection, but for fear of retaliation by the authorities. Thomas has finally reached his limit, and he's gone out for food or toilet paper or something. While he's away, Jesus appears to the others behind locked doors. He shows them his scars from the crucifixion to prove that it's him. And John says the disciples rejoiced. That may be the greatest understatement in all of history, because the death they thought was final has been reversed. Before Jesus leaves, he breathes on them, which is a big no-no, except that he'd been in his own sort of quarantine for several days, and he empowers them by the Spirit to go out and share the good news. And then he's gone. When Thomas returns with the toilet paper, they can't wait to tell him what has happened. Christ is risen. We have seen the Lord. But Thomas says, no, trust me on this one. It's all over town that the tomb was empty, and everyone's saying we probably stole the body to make it look like he rose from the dead. The religious authorities are steamed, and Mary Magdalene has finally completely lost her marbles, and she's telling everyone that she talked with Jesus in the garden on Sunday morning. It's bad, y'all. We got to be careful. We're in big trouble. And so here are these two stories existing side by side. Thomas's story of fear and panic, and the other disciple's story of trust and rejoicing. We have seen the Lord. Well, you heard what happens from the scripture reading. A week later, Jesus appears to them again and invites Thomas to touch his scars and to put his hand in his side and into the wound. Jesus is not put off one bit by Thomas's doubt. He knows that Thomas just needs a better story. And that's what we get with Easter. As one author puts it, we are Easter people who live in a Good Friday world. A world where storms wreak havoc and viruses multiply out of control, where people we love die too soon or linger too long, and there's not enough of whatever you think you need to go around, and friends betray friends, and the people you thought you could depend on bail on you when you need them the most, and telling the truth does not, in fact, set you free. To the contrary, telling the truth gets you crucified. We live in a Good Friday world. But the great good news of Easter is that Friday is never the end of the story. The great good news of Easter is that where God is concerned, there is always Sunday. There is always the possibility of a surprise ending. Easter is God's great punchline. Where, O grave, is thy victory? Where, O death, is thy sting? God gets the last laugh. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.